Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Pleasure to welcome my next guest. I was reading his LinkedIn profile and it tells me that he's keen to participate in exciting adventures and projects. It also says he's open to some madcap suggestions. So with that byline, it should come as no surprise that he's become one of the world's leading stunt coordinators, whose work is seen from Bond to Gladiator. He was behind that scene in the last Mission Impossible movie too. Welcome to the programme, Mike O'Shea.
Bobby Hardings.
How are you, man? Good to see you.
Good to see you again.
How have you been?
Good, actually good. Been busy, to be honest with you. But yeah, been busy, it's great, you know.
You're an amazing character, Mike, and you've got some story which I want maybe to remind our listeners about. It all started climbing the McGillicuddy Reeds and your interest in the outdoors. Bring us back a little bit and tell us about your early years.
Yeah, I suppose it originally started with Beaufort U Club. That's I'd always give a shout out to the U Clubs. I think they were a great thing for young people in their day, you know. And it was a visit to Cappin Lee, an outdoor education centre. And that was the first time I was 13 years of age. It was the first time I started climbing. And it was just like you turned a switch inside me. Like it was just, you know, it was like almost overnight. I was playing football and running like everybody else. And overnight, it was just, you know, went climbing and went, I want to do this. This is where I want to be, you know. So that was the start of it. And then I joined Kerry Mountain Rescue Team. And then it just kind of progressed from there off to the Scotland climbing, the Alps. And then I've been fortunate to travel the whole world climbing, you know, and doing some polar stuff as well, you know. So it's been really exciting.
And in your reputation, your experience, do the climbs become bigger and bigger as you get better? Is it about conquering the next peak?
I think when I was coming up, it was more, I think it depended what you looked at. I was never about the really, really big peaks, even though I had climbed up to 23,500 feet and been to K2 in 1993. But it was more the technical stuff I really, really enjoyed, you know. And I think as you get a bit older, the mountains get a bit harder. And then I decided to go down the polar road. So I've been the last, you know, kind of over the last kind of 10, 15 years, a lot of polar stuff has been driving me. And I thought that was going to be easier than mountaineering, but as it transpires, it's not. Yeah. It's a lot harder and a lot more logistics, you know.
When did your interaction with the film world start? Did it happen in tangent with the adventure and stuff?
Not really. It kind of came around by default because my primary business, like outside of the film industry world, is work at height training. And we're kind of a specialist rope safety business and rescue training business. So we train rescue teams. I mean, for the last year, I've been hanging off cranes up to 100 meters trying to teach guys, you know, how to rescue each other on a crane. Like, so that's my primary business.
Okay.
And it was at the time we were doing work for the OPW on the Skellig. And that's where it started from originally. I just linked in and started helping which we started providing the safety for the actors and for the cast out there. So that was kind of our first really big interaction with stuff. We'd done stuff prior to that, like, you know, War of the Buttons and different music videos and stuff like that. So we'd done all that sort of stuff. And then it was that I put together a really good team for that, and we like homed, you know, toilets up the islands. We put ropes, we put actors, we put Mark Hamill and Daisy Ridley in places where they didn't think they should be able to put them, which we did that. And on the back of that, we then got the next movie, which was the Star Wars 8. And then on the back of that, they brought me out to Bolivia to run the whole expedition in Bolivia. So we were on the Salar on the salt flats at 12,500 feet. So they brought me out to that. And I was kind of just, you know, basically did all the logistics for them. It wasn't nothing to do with rope safety. It was all logistics and how to put it all together. And it's just rolled from there. Like it just kept going and growing and growing, you know. So it's been really busy, you know.
Yeah. So I suppose from out of this rope safety business, which, as you say, is your primary business, you've spun out into all these, I suppose, somewhat safety related.
It's been very interesting. So some of the jobs I end up going in, I'm double jobbing. So, you know, we were on Dune 2, we'll say, a few years ago. So I was dealing with all the transport out in the desert and four-wheel drives and stuff, and also running a rope safety team. We did the same on Bond, I was dealing with transport and that, and I was also running a full, you know, safety team on that. And then some jobs would say, like the ramp and stuff like that, that was just solely just working on the ramp end of things. So we've been very lucky in the sense that, you know, we get to, you know, I get to work in amazing parts of the world, and I get to bring, you know, a lot of my team and friends, you know, friends of mine and people I've worked with over the years, or people that have been employees of mine, that to bring them to these amazing parts of the world to go in and for a bit of madness for a month, 2 months, 3 months, you know, and then come back home and get back into my rope safety training, you know.
Tell us about the ramp that you mentioned there, Dead Reckoning, Mission Impossible. How long did that take to design, to build? Give us a sense of magnitude of this project.
I was never happier with a project coming along because it came right in the middle of COVID when I was doing nothing. We couldn't go anywhere, you know. Well, that's a lie, actually. I was doing a contract for the Irish Coast Guard where I visited all the teams around the country during that time. And then I stepped straight into the ramp. And the ramp, I suppose we spent about 2 months bouncing back and forward and discussing it because they were trying to work out camera angles and all sorts of stuff like that. And then it was to come up with the concept and carry it. So we built a test ramp in the UK, 110 meters long, and we did some original testing on that. And then while that was still being tested, I took a team, brought a team, a lot of big Irish involvement in that project. Like a lot of my key guys were all Irish guys, you know. And we brought guys from Czech Republic, we brought guys from France, we brought guys from everywhere. Like I had to put a really, really strong team together for that. And we ended up building the one in Norway, which was like 280 tons of scaffolding.
It was
absolutely huge. And that was all flown in by helicopter to us. And we were using helicopters like telehandlers. So like basically I'm on the ground, like once the lad said, right, that one's empty, I'm moving that either back up the mountain or up onto the top of the ramp to finish the ramp. So we spent, the one in Norway we built, that was 205 meters and 17 meters high. And we built that in about 4 weeks, which is pretty impressive.
And this was for one scene in one movie.
One scene, one movie. And the weather in Norway, if anyone spent a lot of time up there, it can be really beautiful. It can be really bad.
What do you reckon that cost?
Oh, I couldn't even guess. I couldn't even guess. Because, I mean, you've got to think about, like, that was during COVID. So at that time, we couldn't stay in the hotels.
Yeah.
So they brought two cruise ships in. So we actually were staying on cruise ships.
Wow.
So, I mean, the cost of that stunt was immense. Like, and we obviously did other stuff there as well. You know, the train scenes and stuff like that was all done in Norway as well. But I suppose the big part of it was that if you think about it, we got one day shooting. So we had spent I spent 3 months in Norway in total. And the weather-wise, we got one day shooting. Even the day we shot, I mean, the ramp was covered in ice. And we were out in the morning salting the ramp, trying to wash all the water off with cloths, trying to dry it down some bit. Because it's only 8 foot wide. And he's going on that thing doing like nearly 60 kilometers
and
an hour.
How much practice did Tom Cruise do?
There's no practice on that. I mean, the only practice he did obviously in the UK, but the practice for it was like, well, we were building it. They're flying the helicopter at the same speed over the top of us, just directly over the top of the ramp. And he's jumping out doing the parachute jumps. So he did all the parachute jumps. And then the morning it came to do the run, and he did 7 jumps that day back to back. I mean, most guys would do that once.
What was he like to work with?
He had 15. He had 15 motorbikes. He wanted to do it 15 times.
Stop.
Yeah, I've never. I say this all the time about him. I mean, you see lots of stuff about him and stuff. I mean, I've worked with him on 3 projects now, and to me, he's an absolute gentleman. I mean, the way he treats people and stuff. You hear people saying, "Oh, he was shouting and stuff." Everything he shouts about, I shout about myself, you know. So, but his work ethic, I have never in my life met anybody with a work ethic like him. And he's working with us all day shooting. He's also the producer on those films. He's obviously involved in finance. He's obviously involved in writing script. I don't know how the man has time, you know, to go to sleep. Even, you know? Yeah, it's amazing. Amazing character.
So, Mike, you've had an amazing career. Or do you know, is it one of those kind of jobs that you're not sure where the next adventure lies? Or do you have an inkling?
No, adventure-wise, I mean, I have about 4 or 5 projects on the go at the minute, and it's quite funny. I've never come across this, but in the last 2 or 3 years, there's lots of geopolitical reasons why we can't go to areas, we can't get permits, you know, there's a war kicking off. I've been trying to get into the Central African Republic to do something for the last, 7 years, and it's just, every time I think it's after calming down, it goes crazy again, and we have a project we want to do that involves going in through Russia at the minute, which obviously isn't a good project, so... I'm re-scheming at the minute a few different projects I want to work on. So it's a lot of that. And then the problem with the film world is that it's very, you know, it's all time consuming. Once you get into it, you're just, like, I'm gone for 3-4 months at a time, and it's just morning, noon and night, like 70, 80, 120 hours a week, depending.
And one of the unpredictability about it is it it's for some it's an attraction, but there's huge insecurity around it as well.
Oh, if it was your full-time job, yeah. I mean, like for people that are trying to do it as a full-time industry, it's very, very difficult. I mean, it's huge insecurity because you're only employed from job to job.
Yeah.
And you're on a day. So even if you've got a 3-month job, you're still only on a day. So they can give you one day's notice and bang, you're gone.
Yeah.
So it's a very insecure thing.
And so then those days you are there, like they could be 12, 18 hour days.
Yeah. It's long days when you're in it. But I mean, I enjoy it because of the madness of it. I enjoy it and the challenges it's given me over the years. So I've got to do stuff like the ramp is a classic example. That was every skill I ever had, from, you know, rope safety to rescue team, to scaffolding, to building. So I got to put all my skills into one job, which I'll probably never get again. But then, you know, we get great projects. I was in Bahrain this year with the Marvel, the new Marvel movie that's coming out. So I get to go to amazing places, you know, and work with some amazing people and amazing teams. But then I suppose I'm lucky in the sense I have the job security of I've got a business here at home and I can come back and jump in, and there's usually clients waiting for me, or the lads have gone off and done the work while I'm away. Or else I get back and jump in, and I'm usually off the plane and I'm back
well
organized. 2 days later.
Yeah. You're well organized.
Yeah.
Well, look, it's a real pleasure to talk to you. Mike O'Shea is a stuntman. He's an adventure expert. He's a film consultant. He's loads of things, and he's a real pleasure to chat to. I'd chat to you all day if I had more time, Mike. Thanks for joining us. Lovely to see you in your home, in your home place, and keep doing what you're doing, and we'll be keeping an eye out for you.
Thank you for your time.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.